Hello, Exile. If you're hearing this, you're listening to the Still Sane podcast on Spotify, Apple, or another podcasting service. If you're doing that, I'm missing out on some YouTube goodness, some juiciness to the YouTube channel, which is the primary way of growing this whole ordeal. So, if you'd like, if you really enjoy the podcast, please leave a review on Apple or Spotify. Give it 5 stars, give it 4 stars, whatever. It'll help boost my reach there and hopefully encourage me to continue to post there and grow my presence on these podcasting platforms. Yes, it does cost a decent chunk of money to post these onto them. I know it's shocking, but it is true. All right, enjoy the podcast. Thanks, Exiles.
All right, stupid YouTube intro. Here we go.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Hey, Exiles, I hope you're doing well. I am here tonight with HC Zamp, or just Zamp, of the Pure Diablo podcast. He's an expert on all things ARPGs. He's been doing a, you know, Diablo-centric pod for quite a while now, and we're here today to talk about ARPGs of all types. We're going to talk a little bit about Diablo 4 specifically, Path of Exile 2. Maybe we'll dabble in a few other topics as well, but the conversation is probably going to be centered around those two games. And I know there's a lot happening around PoE2, but I have to ask you, Xanth, as someone who has been, you know, an avid Diablo player for so long, including Diablo 4, I know that you have enjoyed that game in the past. As an outsider who hasn't played the latest season, I've just read some of the commentary around it. It just seems like it fell really flat for a lot of people. Is that your opinion? Is some of it being overblown? Is like there truth there? Just what are your general thoughts on the state of Diablo 4 right now?
Oof. yeah, we're just gonna jump in real hot. Hi guys, Xanth here with the Diablo podcast. Self-plug, I guess. State of Diablo. I think it's in a weird position. I think you could see it coming when they released a roadmap a few weeks ago to kind of give a layout of what was going to happen with the game. And what you saw was a lot of sameness. You know, the game has been out for 2 years now, looking for some larger changes to things that have cropped up since the beginning. And when you see a roadmap, you kind of hope that that might be on there, and that wasn't. And then you get this season that comes out, and while it does do some good things, it tries to slow things down a little bit, so it's not immediately overpowered, because that was the biggest criticism of the previous season, is you were able to get, like, I found myself finishing the season in just about a week, and then it's like, well, what more do I have to do? This season slows it down, but I think the larger problem is when you slow down the gameplay, but you don't have a lot of interesting things yet to chase,
right?
It doesn't feel as exciting. You know, the itemization is still very problematic in terms of how there are all these items that are really build defining, and they're kind of tucked away, but you just find yourself chasing, like, maybe you do find one, but now you're going to chase like a better version of it. That's not as exciting by comparison to Path of Exile, where if I were to find what's the name of the spear that everybody's using right now?
Tangletong, for lightning spear. I believe.
Tangletong.
Yeah.
I'm pretty locked in. I did it. I found the Tangletong. I don't need to find another Tangletong. I have it. I don't need to go grind for 20 more hours to find that exact same item. And that kind of chase is less exciting. And I think you find people burning out. Add in a season mechanic, which is less rewarding. And yeah, you kind of get this recipe for what a lot of people are considering a lackluster season. I still think it's early. There's still time for some course correction. There's some time for some addition and see what the team will end up doing. I'm still playing, but the other part was, even when I was playing the entire time, even on day one, I was thinking, I wonder what my Lich is up to. I'd like to go back.
Oh, no.
And I had the ball rolling with her. Maybe I could. And I found myself even this morning dipping in a little bit to Path of Exile 2 and then coming back and just juggling both of them right now. So it's a weird spot right now. I can see where a lot of people have bounced off. But the other part, I think, with any ARPG is it the end game of most ARPGs complaining about the ARPG at this point?
No, I hope not. I hate it. It does seem to be, man.
Even games that we like it just there is that cycle. And I think there's good criticism to be had, but then there's also just piling on that happens no matter what.
Yeah.
And it's just, how do you filter that out and not let it kind of impact your own enjoyment? If you're out there and you're playing Diablo right now and having a good time, by all means do that. But if you are seeing those things, like, voice those criticisms, don't just jump on a bandwagon without having that kind of experience.
Yeah, well said. I think that goes for literally any game. Like, I've seen this commentary happen, of course, in our own little niche community of ARPGs with EOE 2 Dawn of the Hunt, and it didn't actually happen for Last Epoch. People hopped from PoE 2 hating to Last Epoch is the best, and I think it's because a lot of people who were not liking the PoE 2 experience were really seeking that blasty, classical modern ARPG experience that they like found in PoE 1 and like Diablo 3, and really enjoyed themselves. And unfortunately, like, people maybe moved from Last Epoch to Diablo 4, which then again was lackluster in that area right now. Like, it played very different even to myself, because I've played an okay amount of it, but even when I did play it, it felt very different. And I think a lot of it has to go back to the open world. It did not click with me. I'm not going to lie. I feel like that game would have been way better if it didn't have the open world. And I don't know if that's a hot take or anything, because I'm not in like the discourse, but when I'm constantly like going and fighting monsters and somebody just zooms past me and kills all the monsters, I'm like, ah, dang it. I don't like it, you know?
You become keenly aware of your power level by comparison very quickly.
Yeah, that's a good way to say
and
it.
And how slow you are, right?
True.
Path of Exile, you don't notice that.
Yep.
Because often you're not grouping with other people. I feel like the open world in Diablo is very much the be careful what you wish for kind of situation. Mm. As people complain about running the campaign in Path of Exile and Path of Exile 2, when I first heard that Diablo was going to have a skippable campaign, and, you know, it's like, oh, that's awesome. That will be super exciting. And then you get the system that Diablo has put in, and really what it does is it pushes the grind earlier without the benchmarks that you're used to having to know that you are successful. You know, like, even in Path of Exile 2, right now for my hardcore characters, I judge them by, you know, getting past Viper. I get past Viper, like, that fight just for some reason is the bane of all my hardcore characters. For Path of Exile 1, it was Innocence. It was just like, you clear Innocence and then like, oh, that character is going to live. It's going to live to maps. I did it. Diablo 4 doesn't have that. It doesn't have those benchmark moments. And then without those, it just feels like a slog where leveling is no longer something to enjoy. It's something to get through. And it's not to say that leveling always has to be exciting, but something could happen and make it enjoyable. So I do think the open world does hinder it a little bit, and then the lack of a campaign, I mean, you can always opt into it, but why would you at this point when there's nobody there and
right. It's
going to be slower?
Yeah, and I don't think they designed it to be replayable, right? With Path of Exile 2, I think that I know that Grinding Gear Games is cognizant that this is something, I think this is a hill they'll die on, right? They want people to play the campaign, so they're going to try, even if people still won't like it, to make this campaign something that will be interesting, something that will have those moments, like with you and Viper and Mapuatsu. Mapuatsi, I don't actually remember. Ah, dang it. But then also have
it's
that...
okay, I won't judge you.
It's okay. Dang it. I couldn't remember the NPC at the end of the campaign, the two Val that help you out alongside Doriani. I get their names confused all the time. But they are intentionally really trying to force that replayability into the campaign with all the different moments, and they're going to add different mechanics and the different spawning of the world map, all that. They're really trying. I can tell. And they're experimenting with it, and I do hope it works out. And honestly, I wish the best for Diablo as well. You touched on the roadmap earlier, and even as someone who doesn't play a lot, I got that same exact vibe. I was like, oh no, this isn't going to be good. Like I read it and it's just the different powers every season, and I don't know if that'll grasp people. Maybe they'll look at that again, make some edits, and do well in the future. Speaking of the future, one last Diablo question, and then we can move on to PoE 2 and the like. I think Rod Ferguson came out a few weeks ago and said that they have a 10-year plan for Diablo 4. Do you think that's true, or do you think maybe being Blizzard, they kind of see the writing on the wall already, and maybe they're working on a Diablo 5, right? Where they're like, okay, we tried this crazy new thing with the open world. Some people love it. A lot of people seem to not like it. Maybe we go back a little bit more to our roots. Maybe we do something totally different, you know, because I think Diablo 4 was supposed to be more like a God of War experience originally, right? Like maybe they do something wild. What do you think?
There's been so many iterations on it. I think it's I have to answer a multi-part question in multi-parts, I suppose.
Yeah.
So let's talk 10-year plan first, then let's talk Diablo 5. So 10-year plan, I would say yes, in the exact same way that Diablo 3 has a 10-year plan, right? It is still being serviced. It still exists. But I think the model that they originally went for was multiple seasons, expansion every year. And they've already had to fall back on that because we're not getting an expansion this year. So, do I think we get another expansion? Yes. Do I think we get 5 expansions? No. I don't think that's what happens anymore. I think, like you're kind of talking about at the front end, with interest starting to wane. And I'd be really curious. I don't get to see your chat right now, but there is a meme around Diablo, just a few words that continuously get brought up every time somebody talks about it. God, what is that? Oh, it's D4 bad.
Oh, right.
I would imagine at some point in this chat, somebody is putting that out there. And you can't get away from that, right? Mm-hmm. The narrative after 2+ years has been spun, and it's not saying that I'm agreeing with it, but that narrative has like sunk its teeth into the game. So what do you do to change the narrative? You have to make a new game, right?
D5 bad doesn't have the same ring to it, you know?
it doesn't have a track record yet. I think the big thing, and I freelance for Kinda Funny, and Greg Miller was on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, and we kind of had the same conversation where we were brainstorming what Diablo 5 would be like, because that is one of those unknowns. I would expect that it happens. The question is just the timing of it. And where would it fit? What would it look like? And I think my controversial take was, I would like the team that made Diablo 4 to make Diablo 5. I know.
Why is that?
I think there's something that happens with growth. If you look at the growth from D1 to D2, same team, taking their ideas, polishing them, they made something great. Then you wait a whole decade, and a completely different team comes in and makes Diablo 3, and it is a completely different experience from what we had had before in Diablo 2. Then we wait another decade, and another team comes in and makes Diablo 4, but they built a little bit more on Diablo 3's base and stole a little bit more tonally from Diablo 2. And they tried a few things. They tried this open world, they tried these bosses, they tried their skill tree. And there's rooms for growth there. But I think if you can take that feedback and start on a fresh base, you can make something great, right? Making a skill tree, making all these classes is not something that's easy. And it happens early on in the process where some of those mistakes might have been noticed, but it was too late to fix.
Right.
And you can't fix a lot of the math that's already in the game now. So if you take those changes into the next one, as opposed to bringing on a brand new team, it doesn't mean like you can't shake up leadership, but bringing in a whole new group of people to make a whole new game, I think we're going to end up having the same kind of conversation. Look at GGG with POE 1 to POE 2, right? It's the same leadership, barring a few exceptions, and we've seen some exodus as we kind of go in, but they were able to take a lot of the things that they learned in POE 1 and say, like, these are what we want, this is what we want to do that we couldn't do based on all of the systems that we've already put in. And granted, that ruffles some feathers. There's a different vision there, but it allows for something new to be created. I think that that's what I would like to see. So again, that's a long-winded answer. Yes, there's a 10-year plan. Whether or not that is, if we're seeing in this, you know, roadmap, I would expect a lot of it looks like that. And that is a fault of the system. Seasons and an expansion, a paid expansion, to me just doesn't work anymore. I feel like Path of Exile has really nailed it on the head with like what this as a service kind of looks like. The seasonal approach with a big expansion season makes the whole makes a complete. Lot of sense to me.
Definitely.
And that's as opposed to we're going to hold everything for a paid expansion down the road.
That's a really optimistic view, you know, and that's giga optimistic. But it's, man, I'm just thinking like, okay, so are the same people who made D4 still working on D4, or has a lot of that team moved on? Because I know like the visual people. Okay, so Rod's still there. What happened to like Joe Shelley? Wasn't he the game director? Is he gone or is he still there? He's just kind of taken a backseat.
We've seen, when it comes to game directors, like we've seen expansion game directors come in. The impression that I got from Joe Shelley, and I've never met the man, but I'm just talking in from what I've seen, is he's not somebody who wants to be in front of the camera.
That's fair. It's rough.
Which is absolutely. We had, and I've had the opportunity to talk with Jay Wilson a few times, and I know it's a much maligned name in the ARPG space.
He was the D3 director, right?
He was, D3 director at launch. And the insight that he was able to give around like carrying that position is absolutely wild. Like what it does to you both mentally and physically, like having to carry this weight of a franchise that, you know, has been waiting for an expansion, but also to be the target of vitriol, like constantly, while also like having to worry about like misspeaking. And he did have a famous, you know, quote in which he misspoke about somebody in what was thought to be a private conversation, but misspeaking about the product itself and losing the company money. You know, he made mention about how like he had to be super careful because saying the wrong thing about you know, the game causes the stock to decline. And
that's what I was thinking. The graph just instantly,
right?
Yeah.
Suddenly, Activision has lost, you know, $20 million or 40 or whatever it is, just because you said something was going to happen and it didn't. I don't envy the people in those positions. It takes a very special person to want to make a game and then also be the face of it. Like I don't get how you do that. Mm-hmm. And props to like someone like you know, Chris Wilson or, you know, Jonathan Rogers, who can get up there and can put themselves out there while also absorbing all of the stuff. Because even if you don't want to read all of it, you're still aware of it and it can definitely weigh on you. But I like my sense with Joe Shelley is that he doesn't want that light. I think he's content being in the background. I think that's really why we haven't seen him.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe that is still possible where that team gets a second shot, you know. Activision Blizzard says, okay, all right, Diablo 4 bad. We want to make D5 good. Okay, let's look at all these ARPGs in this space. Let's look at Last Epoch. Let's look at PoE 2. Blizzard, from my I never played a lot of Blizzard games growing up. I played like evolutions of Blizzard games, so I played a ton of Dota 2, for example. Okay. I played like Guild Wars 2. I never played WoW, you know. I played Diablo 2. That's the only Blizzard game I played like before all this, you know, content. But I always hear that Blizzard's best quality was being able to steal what other studios were doing and do it far better. They just knew how to exactly what to tweak to turn an okay mechanic into a goated mechanic, right? And I'm wondering, like, they obviously have done somewhat of that with Diablo 4 and the Armory, the Last Epoch's craft, not the Armory, just the crafting system in Diablo 4. I wonder why they just don't, like, do that with the other AFPGs that are seeing a lot of success with that huge budget, with that money. They can get a lot of talent, you know. Hey, Chris Wilson, Hrishi, Rory. I mean, maybe Blizzard was like, yo, Diablo 5. I'm just kidding. There's no way. But
I did get to interview Chris Wilson years ago.
Okay.
And I asked him if, because he was a gigantic Diablo fan. And I said, like, you know, if you ever get the opportunity and Blizzard comes knocking at your door, would you helm the, you know, the next version of the franchise? And he was adamantly opposed to it, you know, and which makes sense at the time, because mm-hmm. he was, you know, knee deep in Path of Exile, and I think that was Legacy League. Is it Legacy?
Wow, dude, that's like 2015, 2016.
Yeah, it was a while ago. so yeah, he was adamantly opposed then, but, you know, maybe if he's got a little more free time, I sincerely doubt Chris would want to would take on that.
Where is Blizzard? Is Blizzard next to like Vegas? Where's their headquarters?
It is in Irvine, California.
Is there a lot of Magic tournaments in Irvine? I mean, I know Chris is huge Magic the Gathering, you know, it would be just, you know, quick drive.
You know? I'm sure if they could work it into his contract that he got paid in Black Lotuses.
There you go.
Then
the super
maybe,
secret collection, you know.
Yeah, maybe he would want to take that on. But you are right, like in terms of beg, borrow, and steal from the competition. There were a lot of points in Diablo 4 where you, like, as it was coming out, I was expecting them to pull from Path of Exile, as it was just the, you know, at the time and still is one of the greatest ARPGs around. I would argue PoE 1 like really kind of holds on to that mantle. I thought like Nightmare Dungeons were going to be akin to mapping in Path of Exile. Yeah. And that didn't turn out. I expected, you know, something as simple like in which I can go and purchase cosmetics for my skills in Path of Exile. I thought that would be, just, you can print money, Blizzard. Like, I will pay
seriously
to have a different colored, you know, werebear. I will pay to have a different colored fireball.
Actually, like, can't I don't believe know. They haven't done that. Where's the panda? Come like, on.
Right. Like, try. I mean, I don't know how you spend your Path of Exile gold, but I mean, I would have. Do you spend it on armor or do you spend it on skills?
I would definitely spend it on skills. The latest skill effect packs in PoE 2. Oh my god, they're so cool. I'm not using any of the skills right now. I'm shocked they haven't dropped something for Lightning Spear. GGG, what are you doing? But whew, they look sick. Totally sick. But you're right. Yeah. It's very interesting. It really is. They must be doing this, though, because they're making a bank load of money, right? With the cosmetics,
yeah,
and it's little work, right?
That is the other part of the Diablo conversation, is like in the space that, like, it's weird to say that like we inhabit, because I consider myself a very small time, right? But
ditto.
in this space, like content creation and what have you, you have people who are putting in a week what your average player would put in maybe a month or two, right? Mm-hmm. And Diablo as a game, like, sold really well, and nobody knows the numbers, and like you can look at Steam charts and what have you, but that's not nearly as valuable, right?
Totally true.
To internally, Diablo 4 must be doing pretty well, at least. And I'm not talking just monetization on battle passes and cosmetics, but like people playing. You know, they see a new season, they play their character, they enjoy it, they move on. And I think like that's the other part of this conversation when we talk about ARPGs is understanding that there is like this big casual market that I think Path of Exile 2 is trying to aim for a little bit more, as we kind of saw with like a big push. But I think what Path of Exile 2 is doing by comparison to Diablo 4 is understanding that you can appeal to a broader audience while retaining a lot more of the complexity of the game, mm-hmm. where you don't have to water it down as much. And I think that is a big takeaway that Diablo can learn, is that you can try to do both. Like, you don't yeah. have to just lean in to the overly casual, that like you can get them in as a casual and then hook them with all the other complexities at the end that are just not present in the game right now.
Right. I would even argue, you know, if Blizzard leaned a little bit more into stealing away some Last Epoch influence, if they had like skill trees for each individual skill instead of like the two or three, or the four options for each skill, I bet people would eat that up. And it's really, I bet they can tutorialize that, make that really bite-sized and add that layer of complexity, and a lot more people would get legroom in Diablo, you know, because people love the world, they love the aesthetic, they're obviously very nostalgic for playing that sort of game. And I know a lot of people say, you know, I'm done, no Diablo 4. I bet when that next cinematic comes out, man, you know, and right. we're finally gonna get Mephisto, and then we're gonna see a little bit of Diablo. People are going to be screaming. There's going to be, you know, the Asmongold react. Look, oh, I'm 100% playing this game, right? It's going to happen, right? People are going to log back in. I bet that they could win people back with like a Diablo 5, really, and make a mark if they're able to like evolve their vision, right? And steal from some others. Right.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities for growth. I think there is a good team on Diablo 4. I think, like I was saying earlier, there's just been some choices that were made along the way that make it hard to kind of untangle the mess. Like you mentioned, the open world. Like, okay, because we have the open world, now we introducing new seasons is harder. Like with Path of Exile 2, and granted, let's face it, the wisps aren't the best new seasonal mechanic. But when Path of Exile typically introduces a mechanic, it's exciting to go back to those first couple zones because you're immediately brought into a brand new experience, right? Oh. Yes, I've, you know, cleared Act 2 far too many times, but every time I'm making my way to the Jaguar boss, now I have to, you know, in this case, it's Chase a Wisp, which isn't exciting. But, you know, when it's Delirium, when it's a Breach, when it's any of those other mechanics, mm-hmm. I'm chasing that. That's exciting. Diablo just doesn't have that because of the choice that was made years ago for that open world.
Yeah.
You can't have that happening without just reducing it down to the typical Helltide kind of thing that they've done. So there's a lot that would need to be untangled for it to kind of get to a solid spot, but we'll see. I think like that's the best way.
That's it. Yeah. That's a good way to end the D4 conversation. Hopeful for the future. Hopefully they turn things a little bit around. And okay, POE2 now. Okay. All right, Zant, we were supposed to talk like freaking 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Then we had some like time mix-ups, and I thought you were like sick and passed out or something. And then I was like, oh, I can't do. And then now we finally sat down and talked. Okay, you've played 010. Last time I talked to you, you'd gone to like that press event too. You really enjoyed POE2, okay? You were loving it. 020. What are your current thoughts on the state of the game right now?
I legitimately love this game. So you kind of said I got to go to a press event last
November.
Yeah, before release, and then I got access to the review copy. So I could review it for Kind of Funny, and I played a boatload then. And for anybody who's ever reviewed a game before, you typically get, or I should say, if you've never reviewed a game, you get access to the game about a week before, and you just try and brute force your way through it. I have a different life outside this camera. I don't just live in this space. I have to go and do adult things for my adult job. And
hello.
Then I'm also trying to juggle. I've got 1 week to play and beat this game. And the thing with an ARPG, though, is if I make it through the story, I haven't beat the game. I can't give a true criticism of it, right? Because that's just the end of the story. I need to get to maps. I need to start to figure some stuff out. So I put in, I think, like 70 hours in those 7 days.
Wow, holy crap.
Not sleeping that much, because I had this narrow window, and I was so high off the press event, and I felt like it was so cool to be playing this before release as well. And the most impressive part is when D4, like, I got to do the review for Diablo 4 Vessel of Hatred, I had burned myself out, where I'm just like, all right, the season starts, I've already done everything, I'll come back in, I'll kind of go, I'll be a little lazy about it. But when PoE launched, I was just as giddy, because it was like, I was rushing through that. I only played a Chronomancer, so I want to go and play a Mercenary. I want to go and play, a Necromancer. Like, I want to do all the things, and I wasn't burnt out. And even now, I don't feel burned out. I was chatting with a friend earlier. I still have like 5 or 6 builds right now that I want to go and play, that I'm still like tinkering with. And I get, like, there still are criticisms and loot, and which, you know, maybe is better right now because that patch just dropped. And the wisps, the wisps of it all. But I'm still very much enjoying myself. But part of that is I play only hardcore. And then this league was only hardcore solo self-found.
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart.
Yeah, I know, because I'm a sadist. And during review, I played softcore because I could understand how stupid that would be if with a limited time frame and dying multiple times. But now I like that little bit of self-imposed challenge adds like this extra layer of longevity to the game, where it's like, okay, this character made it to this point. I've built up these resources. I'm going to take that, and now my new success is a measurement of just past it, and then just past that, and just past that, that my enjoyment is elongated. Plus, again, I'm not in this space playing this game all the time, which I think adds that extra layer.
It does. I'm so curious, because I was having this conversation with chat right before we hopped on. I was saying how I have played pretty little compared to a lot of like ARPG players, which we talked about. A lot of people, like average players or casual players, will play a certain amount of time in a month or two, and a lot of the hardcore will play that in 3 to 4 days, right? It's kind of wild. So I'm curious. I've played, because you can do slash played, I don't play Steam, I play standalone, but my characters are all still alive and they're in the league, so I slash play. I'm at 43 hours played since 0-2-0 launched. And about half that was launch weekend. So I feel like I've played relatively little, and I'm someone who I'm really enjoying it, right? But I'm also not just playing, 4 hours a night. I'm not even playing 1 hour a night most nights. Like, I will play for a few hours at a time on a weekend or something, right? And at least the way PoE2 is designed right now, I giga enjoy that. With PoE1, I usually do go super hard for 2 to 3 weeks. And by super hard, I mean like 60 hours when I didn't have kids in 2 to 3 weeks, and then I would be burnt out for 2 months. I'm not really playing PoE2 like that. Like, I'm playing it in a very different manner. How are you approaching it? What is your time like, if you know off the top of your head, or what do you think it is?
Okay, so this is where I get into the exposed stupid thing I do. So I like to run. I'm training for, I have an ultra marathon in 2 weeks, and then another one in a month.
What's an ultra marathon? You got to define it.
Okay, so an ultramarathon is any race that is above 26.2, starting at about 50 kilometers and then going all the way up to, I mean, there's 250-mile races. My one in 2 weeks is a 50-mile trail race, and then the one in a month is 100-mile.
Oh, my God, dude. You're a Giga Chad. You're a real-life Giga Chad. Oh, my God. Bad yeah, respect.
You know, it's hard to be this awesome, Chad. Sorry to flaunt that I'm... Again, a sadist. So I live in Milwaukee, and we have winter. So what I discovered years ago is we have a treadmill in the basement. I can link that up and play video games while I run because, you know, being a dad and, you know, having a life, I like to do my running early before everybody else has gotten up, because otherwise it's, one, I'm a better person after I run, and then also... It's the best time for me. It just makes sense. Yeah. So I will get up early in the morning, and like training runs might be between like a Tuesday's like between 8 to 12 miles, and then Wednesday's like 8, and then Thursday's like 10. So that gives me a solid hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on what I'm running, that I can just dive in and play. So like I can carve out my game time there, and then later on, once everybody goes to bed, is when I'll dive back in for a little bit, like an hour or two.
Wow. So you are playing hardcore ARPGs while running between like 6 and 12 miles on a trip.
Yeah, that's where the pause really comes in handy.
Oh my god, dude.
Drink some water along the way.
What do you play on? Do you play controller? Do you have like a gamepad?
Yep,
controller?
So controller. Okay. So for those of you guys who are looking to emulate this, I'm going to run you through the process.
Do it, please. I'm so interested. This is way cooler.
First, what you need is I use an iPad, and I have Remote Play hooked up to the iPad and my PlayStation. So the PlayStation is always tethered via Ethernet, and then the iPad is on Wi-Fi. They will connect, and then I will bring up my PlayStation there, use my Bluetooth DualSense controller to connect to the iPad, and then I'm good to go. Now, the key, if you sweat like this guy does, is you're going to want to put a shower cap on that controller, which will prevent it from getting too sweaty.
Wow.
And then you've solved all of your problems. No sweat on your controller. And you can run and play video games.
Dude, that's crazy. See, I got a walking pad, man. Come on. You can't one-up me like that.
Now, in training, I will say some days are better than others.
Oh, yeah.
But the most I've done is I did have to do a full-on marathon on the treadmill one day. Just because we were... Normally, I don't like to run on the treadmill for all my runs because you want to, you know, obviously get on the road. But snowstorm, can't get out. I've got to run 26 miles. So Path of Exile for a couple of hours really makes the time go by real quick.
Hardcore solo self-found running a marathon, by the way. That's like, you know, the whole brag that you got to give.
Right. I feel like, yeah, you can write that down.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
It's not a party trick I break out that often, I guess.
No, oh my. Okay. So you're running, training for your marathons, playing Pee-wee 2 on hardcore. Where are you on your furthest character now? Have you assume past the Viper and maybe into endgame?
Yes.
Yeah.
So my current character, I've killed so far this league, I think I've killed 6 or 7 characters.
Oh no.
Several Smiths of Catawba, and 2 Liches, a Ritualist, and that's it.
Graveyard.
It is. There's an amazing feature in Diablo 4 where you do get like a Hall of Fallen Heroes. I would love that to make its way to Path of Exile.
Ooh.
Just so you can have them, you know, hanging out there. The
in
memory
your hideout. That'd be super cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, like that.
GGG.
Yeah. MTX. That. MTX, because that's probably what it probably would be.
Right. I'd pay for that.
I would pay for it too.
So I have made it. I think my highest character died around like what, T6 maps or so. Yeah. Nothing major. In I still feeling it out. But the current lich that I have right now is just on the precipice of maps, and then the D4 season drops, so I've had to go in there. And that's where that struggle comes in. It's like, I'm having some good success. Things are rolling.
Right.
And I'm just going to put it on pause. I'm going to come back to it. But I'm very excited to get back to her, because I'm absolutely loving this particular build. It is it's cold mages, and then there is some storm in there, more of a minion lich. But it is super fun. I do like the customizable minion kind of approach. I ran ED Contagion for a little bit. I just kind of got burned out on that playstyle. I don't dislike it, but it's like it's very samey, where I found myself gravitating back towards the minions. And we're gonna get her. We're gonna get her back up there, and she's she's gonna down the Arbiter. I can feel it.
Like, oh yeah, you got it.
In mid run, I'll take her out. But
have you done Arbiter on hardcore yet?
Hardcore, no. Okay. Softcore, lastly, yes. Because I started softcore. You got to hand it to GGG as well. Like the mitigating from hardcore to softcore. It's staying in league as well.
So much better.
It's such a huge improvement, where when I do lose these characters, if I'm on the precipice of that, like, I can be like, okay, well, let's just go play around a little bit, test the waters, and then before I roll that next character, I can come back. So yes, in last league, no in this league currently. But I think it's one of those things where I'm having fun enjoying the journey, where my measurement of success really is, did my character get a little bit better?
Yeah.
And am I still having fun at the moment?
Right. See, I try not to measure myself against others, really, when I play. I'm the same way. Like, I have a goal that I have set in mind for, like, the league. So, where you might be just, okay, iteratively better each character. I'm just, all right, I got to down that Arbiter at least once on a self-made build. And, of course, what do I stumble into as a freaking self-made build? Oh, this lightning spear skill seems really fun. And then you go anywhere and lightning spear is 53% of all characters in PvE2 right now. I'm like, oh, of course. Well, it's so fun. And it's very powerful. Obviously, it's busted. And it's an interesting, you talked about like Tangle Tongue and how it's cool when you get this piece of your build. It's like a big upgrade, and you might be finished basically with that upgrade. Sure, you can get a few more stat points on it, you know, with certain corruptions and the like, but it's basically done. When I stumbled upon Tangle Tongue, like literally, because I'm not looking crap up, I saw people talking about it on Reddit, and I was like, I guess I'll look at it. And then I realized, oh my god, this is ridiculously powerful. And then I saw people in global chat talking about Kotoko's Current, which are gloves that make all your lightning damage contribute to electrocution. Oh my gosh. It like, I love when you can equip a unique item or a support gem, and it changes your build entirely. When I equip those Kotoko's Currents, and you chuck a lightning spear, and like 50% of the monsters are just electrocuted, oh my god, the feeling is, it's just, ooh, you feel powerful. I like those moments in ARPGs, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, like, it is a nice bit of incremental power, a little bit of player choice, and then you get to kind of reap the rewards. I think where Path of Exile really shines is that any boss can be one shot, right? Like, or close to one shot. But to get there, you have to do so much investing, and you have to really push your character to get to that level, barring some major, major bugs that kind of crop up.
Yeah.
But you can do it if you're willing to spend the time or currency, or in some cases both, that can happen. And having that kind of ceiling is exciting, because then you get to see yourself getting closer to it. Mm-hmm. And that just makes the game continue to be more rewarding, not to mention just finding good stuff along the way. I mean, have you ever found a mirror before?
No mirror. You?
Yes.
What? Come on.
It was in Delve League for PoE1.
Really? Okay, where did you find the mirror?
It was in like a lower Val outpost in Delve. I had just cleared it out. I think it was with a Pathfinder at the time. Yeah. It wasn't super deep, but I was playing hardcore, of course, at the time, and it dropped, and I just was flabbergasted. Yeah. I did not know what to do. And as somebody who, you know, is used to being very poor in ARPGs, to be gifted the you know, the greatest item you can to bootstrap literally anything. Mm-hmm. It was a fun league. It was, that was like the fact that I feel the need to bring it up. Like, oh yeah, I did find a mirror.
It's huge.
No big deal.
Oh, there are people with tens of thousands of hours who just have never found it. It's a special thing. It really is. So did you sold it then? It sounds like you didn't keep it.
I didn't keep it. There was contemplation to like hold it forever. But what I did do is I used it to finance my quest for the Shaper hideout. I wanted to be able to kill Shaper in hardcore. So I used it to finance the build that would let me do it, and then use that to farm Shaper until I could get that hideout. Because that to me felt like I get to carry this through. I get to take the hideout and then have that forever. Eventually, I'm hoping it comes to PoE too, so I can just have that as well.
That'd be very cool. I'd love to get the Arbiter's Lair as like a hideout too, that sort of thing. That's something they stopped doing. You know, they started selling the hideouts in the store. I still think having a remnant of that would be kind of cool in the game, just to have those unique opportunities to get these rewards that are nowhere else. Because outside of just stumbling upon the hideouts in PoE 1, is it just Shaper? Is that the only boss fight where you can unlock a hideout? I think it is. Yeah.
I thought Maven has one too.
In the store, man.
Crucible. It's in the store. You can't earn that? I thought you could earn that.
It's in the store. Mm. It's in the store. It goes on sale all the time. The Crucible. It would be super cool if it was in the store. Sorry, not in the store. If it was earnable from Maven. I'd love that. Yeah, I'd love that. That's really cool. I'd be grinding Maven, you know? Trying to.
but yeah, the Shaper one I absolutely love. And I probably wouldn't go back to that character just to look at a mirror, but that mirror is reflected in all of my characters. It's in the DNA at this point. But it is in all my characters currently. So it is a nice little memory to kind of have and fun to show off when I have it.
Definitely. All right. So you said, you know, GGG is doing really well in some regards in PoE 2. I'm curious, from your perspective, especially you have an interesting perspective too, being a marathon runner playing hardcore while playing PoE 2. What do you think they could most improve on? What do you have some critical feedback for the game in 0-2 hour? And I know you mentioned loot, wisps. Any other things that come to mind?
I would argue, and I think I've seen the sentiment kind of come up, is to treat this more like early access and less like a continual release cycle. I'd be curious behind the scenes, like how much of it is more of a Tencent influence than anything else, because you obviously get more eyes on your game every time you pump out like a major big, you know, expansion or league or whatever, you know. But if they're more iterative in the continual short term, I think that will reap more trust with the player base, as opposed to waiting several months down the road. I would argue that I don't think it's the PoE 2 of it all that is probably going to invite the most criticism. It's the PoE 1 of it all. I think that's the bigger problem, is that is a very rabid fan base that is in some ways being neglected. Whether the narrative is true or not, like the thought of the sacrifice of that game for PoE 2 just breeds animosity and, you know, can disintegrate the goodwill that GGG has brought up over the years. I would think that's the biggest criticism, is trying, like, I know it's hard, but trying to figure out how to strike a balance between both these games so that you don't, you know, cut off your nose to spite your face. I think that's the biggest challenge.
I'd agree with you. I think the best thing right now for Path of Exile 2 is a great league in June for POV1. Seriously. If Grinding Gear Games can manage to dedicate a team to work on making POV1 expansion content consistently again and do a great job in June, I think that'll be so good for POV2. I really think there's just so many people who don't like the game, are burnt by it, and because it is being neglected, POV1 is being neglected for POV2, they want to see POV2 fail, and I think a lot of people are I think, what did you, a lot of animosity is going toward it. They're very spiteful about this, you know, and the goodwill is, I feel like it's eroded, right? A little bit, I feel like, was bought back with Freesia, but I think it's already gone. You know, that was in February. It's May. Wow, it's May. Wow.
It's May.
Holy crap, it's May. Oh, my God. There's supposed to be a league in June. I hope it's good, and I hope they can find a good balance. And then I also agree with that second point. Treating it as early access is what they should do. I think in the long term, I'm not a game dev, right? But if they are making rapid changes, right? Wouldn't that shorten the window of early access and get it into a better state quicker, right? And I'm not talking about adding content, you know, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, every month. It's just making those balance, changing those numbers. You know, a lot of POE2 is a numbers game, right? You just got to be constantly shifting those skill values, stuff on uniques, just modify. If they're making changes every few weeks, as opposed to every 3 to 4 months, you're going to get in a way better state with a lot of these skills and the balance way quicker. Is there something that we might be missing out on besides the fact that they're afraid to nerf the builds that people are playing and then those people will just never come back to the game or bounce? Is there like a hidden factor? Because I've tried to rack my brain around it. Is there anything that you can think of being, you know, big ARPG veteran?
It seems like they very much have like locked into the, you know, the league cycle. Yeah. For early access, and I get it, like, hey, we gave you all these toys, you're gonna play with them, we don't want to immediately take everything away, but it's also early access, and I think like the timetable for this game is what is the most concerning, because I think it's concerning for both groups of fans. Like, it is meant to be done by December. Like they said, the goal was to be done in a year.
Yeah, you're right.
It's May. There are still, you know, 5 classes missing. Swords, 3 axes.
Axes.
Yeah.
Flails.
Yeah.
Where's my band?
There's a lot, right? As a druid main, I want that. I will say I was very content with the Huntress. I've wanted to play an Amazon like character since D2, mm-hmm. So that's filling a very good niche for me. But
wait,
to have this delay and then have all these other things that need to happen, you know, I imagine there's a lot of just hardcore POE1 fans looking at that going, our game is going to be in the weeds for even longer, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And there's that animosity building up yet again. And like, this is a league that has lasted over a year. Like, that's absolutely unheard of. Like, I think back to when I first started, like, I got invited to the beta for POE1. And I, you know, wow, played a little bit and I liked it. But, you know, like Diablo 3, and I was, you know, much like you, I had very young kids at the time where mm-hmm. I couldn't, you know, whole ass 2 ARPGs at the same time. But I came back to it, you know, it was before Labyrinth came in, and that's when it really sunk its teeth into me. But that 3-month cycle, being able to go and have these awesome leagues every single time, story I've never shared before, I timed my vasectomy to line up with a Path of Exile league. I know there are people out there that will, you know, okay, do that for,
I get it,
like,
though, I do
March Madness, yeah, and what have you, but I was like, oh, I can set it on the 6th of December. I think it was the 6th. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And it was Delirium, and it was one of my favorite leagues.
Yeah.
Cause I had a great league start, cause I could just sit and play. When you deprive your whole player base of like that cycle, not everybody's going to schedule their vasectomy for it, but you could think about it, guys. I'm just saying, whole weekend of Path of Exile. But when you deprive like that player base of the core component of what makes an ARPG great, like go back to Diablo 2, one of the best parts of it was a ladder reset where you got to race and there wasn't anything new ever added. I mean, occasionally some rune words, but that was it. That just gets that tension brewing, and the longer it goes, the more those feelings are going to start to crop up. So ideally, you're right, June comes and it's an amazing league and it starts to get that balance going, and it's not now June to June again, another year long league, but it's June just to September or June to October, whatever it happens to be. And then Path of Exile 2 is pumping out its updates. Like, just getting that treadmill going where both games are rotating will be massive. And then I think then we'll see GGG kind of get that goodwill back.
Okay. And I know that something else you wanted to chat about, and I think this is a good closing topic, is the similarities and perhaps differences between Path of Exile 1 and the Path of Exile 2 communities kind of being at each other's throats, and what happened with Diablo 2 and 3, even though like Diablo 3 was like a decade after, and it was long after Diablo 2 stopped getting updates, there was still a little bit of, you know, rivalry, some intense feelings too. What was it like?
I think people forget, because D4 is out now, and D4 has like it, you know, we go back to D4 bad, right?
Yeah.
It has its own narrative that you forget what the D2 to D3 narrative is. It's also, you know, we've had, 15 plus years of this version of Diablo that you kind of forget about Diablo 2 and what it really used to be. When we go from D2 to D3, it started with controversy over color to begin with, right? The colors were a little bit brighter and people were upset about that. Okay, whatever. You know, that's not a big deal. But the gameplay, when you go back in, by comparison to Diablo 3 to Diablo 2, is vastly different. I mean, there's a decade in between, but they change up so many different things. Like, it's more about putting sets together. It's you have a generator and a spender. You don't have skill trees anymore. It's a completely different vision for that particular game. And if you were expecting Diablo 3 to just be, you know, Diablo 2.5 kind of, right, to be the newest version of Diablo 2,
right,
you're disappointed, because this isn't the Diablo that you knew. I think that's kind of what we're seeing happen with Path of Exile. Path of Exile 1, I think a lot of people's hope for, and initially that was the plan, right, for Path of Exile 2, was it was just going to be this offshoot of Path of Exile, and it would play the same, but it would have some polish. It would look a little bit better. And then it just got a little too big for its own britches and had to be its own game, which is totally understandable. But I think people were expecting, like, hey, Path of Exile 1 is amazing. And if you just take what you have and then you add in the amazing new graphics and the skill animations and you just turn PoE 1 into that, I'd be happy. I'll play that forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is that I keep coming back to the word animosity, but there is that tension there of like,
major tension.
This isn't the Path of Exile I wanted. I, who've been playing this game for a decade, wanted this game again, but better and flashier. That was it. So I think like it's hard. It's got to be hard for GGG to juggle both of those things. The Blizzard, just being a bigger company, they had a decade in between both, and they weren't making Diablo 2 anymore. Diablo 2 was done, and that was created by Blizzard North, which was different. they didn't have to appease Diablo 2 fans because they weren't making it anymore. It's like, hey, here's Diablo 3. You should just be happy you got something. Whereas Path of Exile's got to try to toe that line. And I think there is some very big comparisons between the two. Like, they are very similar in that regard of having these rabid fan bases that want more of the same while they want to deliver something different. And that different is going to be different. Like, they didn't want that. They want something that they're comfortable with. And yeah, did you play? How much PoE 1 did you play?
I have been playing since 2019. Absolute degenerate. On PoE 1, I would get 36 or 40 challenges every single league. So, nice. Like I said, you know, I'd go really hard the first 3-4 weeks, then I'd bounce out, not play for a few months, and then that new league, oh, I'd go right hard into it. So, I played Freesia 2 to level 80 in hardcore, actually. It was the first time I beat the campaign on hardcore ever, which was very fun. And, you know, Settlers, yeah.
No deaths along the way?
No, not for this run in Freesia. Nope. First character got to 80.
Impressive. Again, in innocence every time. I mean, he's significantly easier tense. When he started, but that ball tense. Phase, I hate it.
It was super tense. Katava too was just tense because just know if I get one hit, one slam, if I'm just mismoving one, I'm over. But I was good. Maps got pretty crazy too because some of the modifiers, I was being a little risky. Man, thank you so much. I'm going to talk to you later. Apparently, the stream died while we were doing I was recording, so it'll be a separate VOD. It's totally okay. I had a backup, so.
I get it. We did a podcast just the other day. My camera was cutting in and out for no apparent reason.
It's frustrating.
There's always something that crops up, right?
Yeah, 100%. All right, Zamp. I'll talk to you later, man. Thank you so much.
All right.